hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Once upon a time, in a land far away, three men discovered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team with the ability to siege the bay.
You'll never make it out of the bay.
Give no quarter, and feed the fish with any enemy that takes the field during their quest to find the Lombardi Trophy.
Bucks win! Bucks win!
Join Craig.
And he walks up to me and he says, I'm John Lynch.
He is a monster.
That's what he was, a hard-hitting white boy that played safety, and he was something special.
Eddie.
He built the pyramid right in front of us and said, this is how we're going to do it.
We got to practice doing things right all the time. Little things, huh? Details.
And Zach.
Every day you build, you got to build the foundation, man. That's what we're doing here.
As they take you on a journey discussing front office moves, game breakdowns, and interviews. So batten down the hatches and get ready to set sail. It's time for Buck.podcast.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons. Bucks lead.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, High C, and it is Monday, March 25th. You already know what time it is by the hat that I'm wearing. Buck That Podcast is upon you today. We got some good stuff to talk about. I am joined. Well, hold on. First off, let me give a shout-out. Sponsors, shout-out to our boy, Andrew's Glass, always being a supporter. Shout out to Bamboozers and Poor Decisions for allowing us to be in the cabin, rocking it in the studio with you guys. And last but not least, RoadDogJoeCoffee.com. Go there, order some coffee today. Speed King Signs. And not really a sponsor, but we are going to be a part of one of their upcoming events. Shout out to Dragonheads. The number one smoke shop, Bradenton, Sarasota.
What's going on with that?
10 years strong.
They got a 420 event coming on. I'll talk to you guys a little bit off air because I'm not releasing details yet. But they're gonna have some fun stuff going on. They haven't given me the finalized time yet. I'm guessing it's probably gonna be more on the 1 to 8 tip. But 420 gonna be some big sales. Some glass blowers should be in the building doing some live glass blowing.
That's cool.
DJ, going to be some fun stuff, food trucks. But as I get information, I will let you guys know. I'll be dropping some reels and some different things like that. So make sure you follow us everywhere, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch.
You guys switching?
Instagram,
yeah, Instagram,
Buck That Podcast.
Buck That Podcast. Make sure you go subscribe to all of these.
All of these things.
Spotify.
If you want to send me a dollar, I don't even know where, but send me a dollar. I love you. I'll give you a shout out on air.
But we
got Eddie in the building. How you doing today?
Good, man. Fabulous Monday. Good to have all three back.
Facts.
Back in the building one more time.
One more again. As they say back in Lorraine Park. Got my boy Zach in the building. How you doing today?
Shout out Lorraine Park.
I'm doing good.
Zach, remember Lorraine Park?
Did you hang out in Lorraine Park?
A little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For real?
A little bit.
You was out there on 22nd, 23rd, or 24th? On Chilk.
He was over at the Wiley Residence.
Okay. Shout out to the Wiley Residence.
And shout out to our sister, Katrina, always tuning in. Huge Bucks fan.
Shout out to Katrina.
Gotta love the Bucks fans because they love us. But getting into...
What are we calling our fandom of this show?
Are they Buckaholics?
Buckaholics. I kind of like that.
Buckaholics.
Let us know how you guys feel about that.
Buck Thaddeans. Buck That Nation?
I mean, Bucks Nation is already like a thing.
Yeah.
Bucks Nation is Buck That Nation, though. I don't know.
I feel like it's kind of stealing.
That was my original idea. Pre-show.
But now we're
kind of in the middle of things. I'm kind of liking the Bucksaholics.
Buckaholics, bro. I like it.
Yeah, I like that.
I like it.
I'm going to change my vote.
All right.
Buckaholics, I think that's a Facebook group.
Is it?
Yeah.
It might be.
Buckaholics, but we could call them the Buckaholics. Like alcoholics, Buckaholics.
I think that's the play on words he was going for.
Yeah.
So I said Buckaholics.
What was that rap group in the 90s?
Alcoholics.
Yeah,
no, they were raw.
Yeah.
That was my jam back in the 90s.
He don't know about no Kid Frost. Anyways,
we got
some new faces in the building, and I ain't talking about right here in the cabin.
Oh, I was going to say, who do we got? We got special guests tonight?
I'm talking about One Buck Place.
We do.
We brought in your boy.
Bryce Hall.
Bryce Hall.
Cornerback. Give us a little bit of depth. I don't know if we want to depend on that guy to be our starter.
I mean, he has filled in with the Jets.
He's filled in with the Jets and done decent.
I think he's a very good cornerback. Whether or not he's going to be a starter for us, I feel like the moves we made with Bryce Hall, Tavarius Thomas, I believe his name was, veteran depth at the cornerback position is going to suit us well.
But should Bryce Hall be the kind of guy that detours you from maybe taking somebody that we're going to talk about when our draft needs?
I don't think
so. Kool-Aid McGinstry.
I don't think so. I think they drafted depth because if you remember last year, bro, they were trying to bring anybody in because we were decimated in secondary. We had a lot of starters
out. I just think it doesn't pressure them into picking
100%
into one position. It allows them, you know, with the depth positions that BPA, they've done with quarterback and offensive line.
Of need.
Pass rush. They're not, like, blinders on one position. They've got a opportunity to pick the position.
They could pick the best player at one of the positions, whoever they feel is higher on the list.
Exactly.
And, you know, somebody even said, like, well, you know, don't they already got a couple guys? You know, I'm like, yeah, but that's just depth. Like, you got to think. Some of these NFL offenses these days, they're running 3-4 wide receiver sets. So that's four defensive backs just right there that you might need for a couple plays depending on what kind of formations they got going on.
That's not
including injuries and everything else that might
– Defenses nowadays are running more need like, nickel and dime.
Yeah, you might need more like 6-8 cornerbacks on your roster. Or at least six five. On the roster, a couple five. On the practice squad or something.
Yeah, you need depth, and we
they addressed it. Depth for they sure. addressed it. They brought back a veteran safety to help out with them corners in your Jordan Whitehead.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a huge move.
We did bring back Jordan Whitehead. So
Jordan Whitehead's big.
Although he's a new player, he's a familiar face, even though he's technically wasn't on our roster last year. We did bring him back.
They showed the reel with the secondary coach, and they, you know, that when they surprised him to tell him, you know, we're bringing back, and the look on his face, because he knew what type of player he was getting back. You know, when you bring in a veteran presence like that that already knows your system, gets along with your team, that's an anchor.
I mean, Antoine Winfield's happy, I'll tell you that.
100%.
Absolutely. Ryan Neal, I mean, last year. Ryan I mean, we talked Neal. About him constantly last season, how bad he was. So to get a guy that's familiar with this Todd Bowles system that can plug and play right back in with Winfield is going to be a blessing come next season in that secondary.
And he's happy to be back.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think he ever wanted to leave.
Well, he let that money called him over. He tried, you know, the grass wasn't greener on the other side. We gave him another chance to come back. And I think magic's gonna happen.
He was then. Like, "Damn, bro, I went to the New York Jets and got hit with cold, all these taxes. It was cold. Yeah. Florida ain't got some of them
food
taxes.
Food wasn't good. They didn't have them Cuban sandwiches like they do in Ybor."
Hey, shout out to our boy Jeremy G, man. He says, "Hey, you only got 7 picks. Make them count." And for the most part, yeah, you only get 7 picks. Usually, teams end up with a few extra compensation picks or whatever the hell.
Yeah, I think we're missing like a 5th-round pick this season, but we picked up the 3rd.
So, yeah, but, you know, you are limited. I mean, some teams via trade and different things have a little bit more than 7, but, yeah, most you're only given 7 every year, and whether you finagle a few more here and there, you definitely got to make them count because sometimes that 6th, 7th-round pick, they ain't necessarily guaranteed to make the team, especially if they get outperformed by an undrafted free agent and it comes down to some roster spots or this or that. So, fortunately, Jason Light has been able to make a good amount of picks.
Yeah,
he's good at what he does.
Season right now.
Yeah, he's good at what he does.
This is the best time of year for Jason Light. He loves the offseason, man. He does so well in the offseason. I'm excited to see what he does, man. Every year, it's just honestly, I think he just keeps getting better and better as a GM.
And I mean, we did add some O-line depth, guys that could come in and compete for starting positions on our line. Guys that can also play more than just one position on the line. That you know, the guy from the Giants was it
Pedersen or whatever?
Yeah, he played the whole line.
I think he's going to be more of the
center.
Depth guy.
I think they're going to move him more to back up on center and compete for center.
Well, I don't know. It all depends. I mean, what if JPJ falls to us?
Yeah, you're right.
The guy that I really liked that we picked up was, I can't say his first name, but his last
Tua
name.
Tua or something like that?
Oapeta. From the Eagles.
He was a great run blocker.
He's a big
mauler.
Here's some numbers here for Oapeta. He produced a 90% pass rock block win rate last year, which is 44th in the league among players with 500 snaps or more, which isn't that great, obviously. But where it boils down to is his run blocking is like, they say, 76, with his ninth in the league.
Top
with
notch,
players
baby.
Of 500 snaps or more. So this guy can run block, which we were lacking a little push.
Yep, 100%.
We were missing that ass in the middle, and we got a little ass now. This guy's a big Samoan.
It's a man of team meat.
He's going to move the line around for sure.
Listen, I was telling my boy this. When we were talking about all this free agency stuff, and
every week that happens.
It's just because it's like the table's only so big. It does because you can the camera moves. but I was telling my boy at work, we were talking about the bus and everything like that. I was like, look, if you want to build a championship team, I was like, I don't know what they got going over there in them Samoan islands, but if you ain't got at least one or two of them Samoans in the trenches. You ain't winning nothing.
We got them on both sides now.
You need them big. I don't know what it, them boys is just like.
It's the DNA out
the
there,
DNA,
man.
The DNA. It's the water. The whole like
all that fish, water.
The little like tribal stuff they be doing. And they just get crunk. Them boys are some man movers. And we just added one on the other side of the ball. And, you know, there's even speculation of the guy, I can't pronounce his name either, that's in the draft. But he plays edge. Well, I think it's like.
Are we talking offensive line?
The guy from UCLA?
Yes.
Oh, Latu.
Latu.
Yeah, that boy's raw.
He's the guy who I've seen mock draft to us in different mock drafts.
We'll talk about him next couple
so,
days.
So, I mean, it's one of those things like, bro, we get them big man movers down there, bro.
I think the Bucks are blessed, man. They did such a great job in the offseason of bringing all their guys back that, like you guys said in the first segment, they could really. Just go with the best player available because there's so much. It's not there's so much need, but you can fill so many different holes that you're not stretching.
Well, there's
not,
priority. There are needs.
Yeah, 100%.
We do need offensive line. We need two new guys in the trenches, one on each side, probably an edge and probably an interior lineman, or a guy who is a tackle but maybe not be an NFL tackle that would move into the inside. But I still think you're taking a risk there. There are some guys I've seen in mock drafts, first, second round, that have been mocked to us that are more on the interior line. There's been a couple cornerbacks been mocked to us. Even Mel Kiper mocked the fastest wide receiver in the draft to us. So, I mean,
we already got the fastest wide receiver in football.
What's so crazy about everything going on right now is none of the mock drafts, you know how like usually you look at like two or three mock drafts and they got like the same person coming up. Like, I've seen like 10 different people pigeonholed us, and it's almost because like people can't really figure out what we're going to go to because
well, do we don't have like figure it yeah. out though. Every year it's the same thing. They all just shoot darts, and I mean when it boils down to it, we did our own mock draft 1 year. How many did we get right? I think it was two. I got two right in the first round. It's so hard to predict even with so much knowledge going into the draft.
I think collectively as a whole, I think maybe we got 10 right between all the people that cuz you know we all took picks for different teams and stuff.
Yeah,
I think collectively we might have gotten 10 right.
Yeah,
like you got a couple right, I got a couple right. I think Queso got a couple right.
36 mock
bro. Honestly, it was hard.
If I remember correctly, I had two. Everybody else had one.
Okay,
nobody else.
So maybe we got like six.
That's
right.
I mean, I remember it being that hard to predict. I got like Davis from the Lions.
I smoked too much to remember.
And some other linebacker.
He's been holding on to that staff for 6 years.
He has, bro. He put in his notes.
He did.
He was waiting for that to come out.
Sure, with his draft, I'm going to let y'all know. Hey, remember that one time back?
That 1 year.
I got two. Look,
2018, I got y'all ass.
All I'm saying is, even Mel Kiper, McShay, whatever, even though he's not even doing this anymore for ESPN, they all have it. You know, they don't predict.
They don't hit.
Even in the top 10, they get them. A lot of them wrong. They might hit on one or two. So it's so tough to predict where these players
they're
are
speculating.
Yes, folks, we're not ESPN. We're your regular ham and eggers that just watch football on Sunday. And
Derek was
like
just telling
smacks.
Me he heard a report that the Commanders may go for J.J. McCarthy at 2. I was like, well, hell, if y'all get Jaden Daniels at 3, y'all going to be good anyways.
I think it's a good draft. We have so much talent.
I think that, honestly, I'm going to go out there and say first round, it's going to get nuts. We're probably going to be texting each other in our group like, did you see that going? What? Did that really just happen?
Every year has a lot of surprises. There's always that like that one player.
But I think with
drafted.
The quarterback situation being so deep, allegedly, we may see 5 to 6 quarterbacks go. I'm not saying top 10, but like within that first round. So there may be some people that trade up or whatever, whatever. And the Bucks are in a position to where they may be able, and unless there's like that guy they really want to go get with, we picked up that second, third round. Let's try to flip. I mean, we don't necessarily have to flip that guy to go up. We can take two third round picks and maybe come away with two starters there. We could just sit there at 26, just like rubbing our hands together, like, oh, come to Papa, come to Papa. And we may sit there and just be like, damn, this is a hard decision because we got like three guys we really like. And you're starting like pros and cons. And you got like, you might be eating up that 15 minutes, like, like, what do we really do here? Because
I wouldn't be surprised if they get to a point. And
there's going to be some talent.
And there's a couple of guys on Jason Light's list that we trade down and scoop up another second or third round pick. Like, it could even get like that.
Listen, I will 100% agree with you on that because there's going to be some guys that'll be available in the beginning of the first round that will have first round grades on them, and you're just going to be sitting there and, hey, if we pick up a second and a third or something like that to drop down from 26 to 33.
All day.
Because the Bears want to move up.
Yeah.
Or actually it would be Carolina at that point. Which we probably wouldn't trade with, but you know what I mean. Maybe
somebody 34, get desperate for their maybe the Commanders guy.
Jump up or something like that. Is that what you guys want them to do?
I wouldn't mind it. Not necessarily.
It all depends on who's there.
If enough players fall back on Jason Light's list where he knows he could scoop up any of these guys and someone's willing to trade up and he knows one of his guys is going to be there later, plus he can get someone else, he'll do it all
day. The only benefit about not trading out of the first round would be that if you know there's a guy there that's your guy that you want to really keep on your team, that you think he's going to do good things, you kind of have to take him in the first round because then you get that fifth-year option.
Mm-hmm.
You get that 5 years automatic. So that is the plus side to that. But if you could save a couple bucks, get that same guy in the second round, maybe that is something you kick the tires on. Me as a fan, I like my team to pick the first round pick because I'm going to be staying up trying to see what happens because I ain't got to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning no more.
Are you excited now,
I'm excited.
You going to have a little draft party again, like old school?
What's going to end up happening is you're going to end up watching till the Bucks pick at 26, and then you're going to get to that pick, and then they're going to trade back.
Speak that evil on me. I'm going to pour this drink on you right now. I'm just joking.
And then you stayed up all that time in the first round.
That'd be worth it, though. It'd be worth it, because now I got a whole night to process.
You can stay a little later, though, now. You don't have to get up at the butt crack of dawn.
I can stay up to like 10, 11.
Yeah. He good till 10:30. 10:45.
I can probably watch the whole first round.
Yeah.
Big boy.
For the first time in 3 years.
I've already started playing. I'm like, look, man, the draft's like a party, like a religious holiday to me.
I do miss being on weekends, though.
I might have to work a couple extra hours on like Monday and Tuesday.
First round on Saturday.
No, yeah, Thursday.
It's prime time, Friday night. Thursday night.
Nah, man, but it was different. When you would watch that first round on Saturday and like you were just straight throwing down on Saturdays back in the day, it had a different vibe. I ain't got a problem too much with prime time because you only get the first round and that's it. But back in the day, you were there all day, man.
Friday, you got second and third round.
Yeah.
Then Saturday don't even really matter. Yeah.
It's not the same. You're not all pumped
honestly,
up.
How they should do it is they should do Friday is the prime time first round. Then you go Saturday, like
just run it
middle day into night type deal for a second, third round, or maybe into prime time, and then on Sunday do the 4-7 or 3-7.
That's what they used to do.
Yeah.
I wish they would do it like that. I like Friday a lot better.
Yeah. NFL, man, step your game up.
But I'm going to make a couple racks of ribs probably that night.
Ooh. Did you guys hear about the new rules?
No.
Oh, my God.
What do you think about it? The hip drop?
The hip drop tackle. This is unbelievable. This is worse than the horse collar.
So is the NFL really trying to protect their players, or are they trying to amp up offense? Or is it a little bit of both?
Well, I think it's definitely going to result in more penalties for the defense and benefiting the offense. But it's definitely going to protect the players. I mean, we've seen these plays before in the NFL where players are tackled, and basically the hip drop tackle, if you don't know what it is, it's basically when a guy's running on the side of a said player, grabs the player, usually by the waist, and then just drops all his
jiu-jitsu.
Weight.
You hit him a little jiu-jitsu on him.
And basically just drops his weight on him.
What's wrong with that?
That's and unweights himself, basically. And a lot of these players are landing on the back of legs, breaking and tearing ACLs and MCLs and such. So
they need more collagen.
They made a rule that you can't do that anymore. like the refs need any more pressure on them to do their job that they already F up every single weekend.
Can I just run at somebody and drop kick them, or is that a penalty?
That's a penalty.
That's
a penalty.
That's going to be probably 15
yards. This is not Dick Butkus anymore, man.
Like, dog, nobody don't want to see no
motherfucker. Water boy.
This ain't no, who wants to see, listen.
They're playing tag football.
This ain't elementary school. We ain't playing no two-hand touch.
Yeah, when does it not?
Pity pat.
When does it become not football anymore?
Are we about to play hot butter biscuit on this bitch?
Yeah, well, they've already done it with the Pro Bowl, so slowly, little by little.
I don't give a shit about the Pro Bowl.
I'm just saying in general,
but I'm
man.
Talking about real football, like, offensive, like you just brought up with the offensives, like kind of swaying in the offensive side for statistics.
In general, usually the majority
we've
of the.
We've seen this since about the mid 2000s.
So,
but the majority of the rules go over to benefit the offense. How much goes towards the defense?
Not very not many, lot. Because you can still lower your head and truck towards the defense, and that's not considered targeting. Yeah. But on the Facebook Live, Jeremy G has a very good comment. Says, tackle on grass and you might get a different outcome. He has 100%. A point. A lot of play, you know, you're so worried about this hip tackle, but you ain't trying to enforce these stadiums to go owners. Natural grass.
And that statistic right there saying. Goes to prove already once that
but
100% more people get hurt on artificial.
All the stadiums that have fake grass that are going to be hosting the FIFA World Cup have already agreed to implement grass for FIFA. So you're already going to change it. So you'll change it for the World Cup, but you won't change it for your own player safety. Like, literally, that's like saying
NFL.
That's like saying, okay, I have this $400,000 Lamborghini. I'm going to park it under this oak tree with 1,000 crows sitting on it and expect it not to get shit on.
I think it just boils down
to the cost. Bro, you're paying dudes a salary of $200-something million, whatever the salary cap is right now. You might want to protect your players.
100%.
I agree with you. I do. But it just, I mean, what does it always boil down to in this world? It's about the money.
They're already,
the dollars.
They're already paying the money to FIFA to change them over.
I understand, but that's a one-time event where they're making millions, if not billions of dollars. As far as their everyday life of the stadium, it's going to be more cost-effective for them just to throw down.
It's not,
though. Well, here's what happens. The players' union should barter with them somewhere in there to free up some money.
I agree with you guys, by
the
way.
Hey, to save these players. Because at the end of the day, if it's really about money, that money they're going to pay out in lawsuits and extended care for all these players that continue to get hurt.
They're already going to do that anyway with the CT.
But it drops the money. It drops the amount of money in the payout in the future.
Well, not only that, is if you're going to we're trying to protect the players. If you're going to protect the players, then protect the fucking players. Don't just be like, oh, well, we're going to do this because all we got to do is put a little black and white, dot the I, cross the T, and it's all good. No. Protect the players financially and come out in them fucking pockets and put the real grass in.
Well, it's not about the players. I mean, look at the kickoff rule. I mean, we talked about this.
But they're saying for the hip thing is for player protection.
Yes, I'm
player
just saying,
protection.
Like, so was the kickoff at one
So if you're going to make rules like that to protect the players, then make the owners protect the players, too, because you want the players to protect the players, but the owners can do whatever the fuck they want?
Basically, the owners make the rules for the most part, besides what the players agree to.
I think they should just boycott anytime. You want to hurt your team? If they got artificial turf, y'all come out there, and then when kickoff comes around,
I got
you walk
slogan
your ass,
too.
Walk your ass back inside the thing.
Save their ass, play on grass.
Patent pending.
The owners probably came to the players in the last bargain agreement and said, hey, look, the players probably like, hey, look, we want grass. And the owners are like, we'll give you grass, but not that type
There's
of grass.
There's a dispensary down the road.
no more drug testing for weed. Like, that's a
did
big
they,
thing for
did
the players.
They do that already?
I'm pretty sure, like, you can't get popped for marijuana.
Man, you know who's mad right now? Two people.
Josh
Ricky
Gordon.
Williams.
Josh Gordon.
And Josh Gordon.
Ricky Williams for sure.
Ricky Williams
got shit on,
you know,
man.
He's making his money right now. He's got his own, like, brand and everything.
I'm saying, Ricky should have been on the sideline doing bong rips.
He
probably would have broke the record. He would have had, like, 400 yards in one game.
He would have, too. That's a contest I want to see, a bong hit between Ricky Williams and Michael Phelps. I want to see a smoke-off.
Hosted by Snoop Dogg.
Hosted by Snoop Dogg. With
Judge
Willie Nelson
with,
playing in the background.
With Willie Nelson. And Cheech and Chong for comedy.
100%. They're on commentary.
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
That's crazy. I'm imagining that festival.
It would be like the highest.
All proceeds go to Save Their Ass, Play on Grass.
It would be like a highly viewed
it would.
Pay-per-view.
It would. Netflix, pick it up.
Pun definitely intended. Highly viewed.
Highly viewed.
Oh, Lord.
But anyway, what we're talking about, the NFL rules, talk about the hip tackle. And, God, you guys got me off target now. I forgot the other rule that they
it
just
It was implemented. The kick return. They're trying to set up the kick return like
XFL. Yeah, about player safety. We implemented this rule, last season about the kickoffs. Ended up getting no action from the kickoffs and a lot of, record touchbacks. So, basically, just like a dead play. Mm-hmm. And instead of, and that was saving players, safety, not having an actual play. But now they reverse it and do this new kickoff where there's going to actually be more returns.
Yes. It's supposed to be similar to how the XFL was doing it.
Is it player safety or entertainment?
Well, there's like a 5-yard.
Well, I guess what they're trying to take out of it is how the players start from so far back, the dude kicks it, and they're running like full speed. So you got
inertia. Yeah, they don't get that head of steam.
So I guess the players start closer now. The kicker will kick it off. The returner will return it. But nobody can move until the returner fields it.
Yeah.
As soon as he catches the ball, then it's collision of all the big guys, and then whatever happens.
Yeah. No, I get the premise. It's just funny how, it was all about player safety.
Well,
because I think about
entertainment. They're trying to make it safer for the kick returners to where they're not getting hit by some dude running like 20 miles an hour.
I don't think it's about the kick returner at all.
I think it's more about the
players that we talked about colliding, the big guys coming together, running full speed and coming mass to mass.
They're out there like Spartans,
as a kid,
man.
I hated that as a kid playing special teams because that was literally like you just lining up in practice or when you're laying on the back and your coach blows the whistle, you got to get up real quick and run and tackle. It's like nobody liked doing those drills.
It was kind of
some people did.
I don't know. I guess that's why I was an offensive lineman. Shit.
But no, I mean, they're like, damn, we just let Devin Hester in here. Ain't nobody ever going to be able to break that record. We got to let them somebody return some kicks.
Well, I think that Dante Hall should make it in if they, got Devin Hester in there eventually.
Maybe. I mean.
Who's a better kick returner, Devin Hester or Deion Sanders?
Devin. I mean, I got to say
Devin. Devin's the
all-time. I mean, touchdown Deion leader. Was probably more electric, and if he returned as many as Devin did, I bet you we'd be saying
Deion.
Deion just didn't do it as much either because he was prime time.
Mm-hmm. I would probably
Devin, that was his bread and butter. But prime time has been an advocate up until the induction just now. He was always like, hey, man, give that dude his statue because he deserves
over
it.
Over Antonio Gates, though?
Why not?
I think Antonio Gates should have been first ballot and let Devin Hester wait another year. That's just my opinion.
You guys literally just said it right there. He was the best of the best.
So was
Antonio Gates. Wasn't the who was better? Antonio Gates.
I would say Antonio Gates over Patrick Willis.
Oh yeah, 100%.
That's who they should have snubbed.
I want to hear this comparison.
What's his name?
Antonio Gates. There's not many players you could say.
What's his name from Atlanta?
Tony Gonzalez.
No, but that's not. I mean, he's already in.
No, but I'm saying in general, like the best of the best.
He's
what
up
we're
there.
Saying.
He's up there. He's definitely.
I think
up
he's
there,
top
Tony.
Two.
Is he?
He's like top three in yardage, I believe. And then as far as touchdowns goes, he's number one in the league all time.
Who?
Antonio Gates. Antonio
for tight Gates. Ends.
For tight ends.
Nah.
Antonio Gates. Look it up.
You're probably right.
I will look it up.
Trust me. Like I have a case here about Antonio Gates, and I'm not like. It's not like it's Kirk Cousins out here. But when I see a discrepancy, it's something that needs to be fixed. And this is just like blasphemy.
I don't think I'm not saying Patrick Willis isn't a.
No, he's a shoo-in too.
A Hall of Fame linebacker.
But he also quit early.
But he retired early. I think Antonio Gates should have got in. Because he's like the top of the list.
Longevity.
He was around a little bit.
He did it for 16 years or so? I'm going to look up Antonio Gates right now just so I can give you the all-time list. But, I mean, who else do you think is better than Antonio Gates when it comes to tight ends?
Shannon Sharp?
No.
I don't.
Numbers.
I don't. I mean, Shea, look, Unk is great. Like, love Unk. But that's Antonio Gates. That's that dude.
Tony Gonzalez.
Kelsey's up there.
Healthy Gronk.
Gronkowski. Gronkowski was wrong, boy.
That's why I said healthy Gronk, because if Gronk would have stayed healthy for all those years and he didn't miss, you know,
Kellen Winslow,
two or three.
No, come on, man.
He said best tight end, not best masturbator.
Oh, I think he was talking about senior, not junior.
Oh, my bad.
Not Kellen Winslow.
My bad.
All right, so Antonio Gates.
I thought you were taking a Miami dab at me.
Here we go. Number seven all time in the NFL. Of Miami. Number seven all time. Who's above Antonio Gates as far as leaders in touchdowns? Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Chris Carter, Marvin Harrison, Larry Fitzgerald. Then it's Tony Gates. Or then it's
all time receptions.
No, this is touchdowns.
Touchdown receptions.
116 touchdowns. The next highest at tight end is Gonzalez at 111.
Damn. Okay.
Who's on the who's the overall tight ends list?
Of what, touchdowns?
No, just in general. Tight end stats. All time leading tight ends.
Which one do you want? Do you want yardage? What do you want? You want yards? I'll give you yards. I got yards right here. Let's go yardage. This is all time yardage. So this
I want tight ends, though.
I know, but I can just go down a list and show you tight ends. Like six all time is. I'm sorry, I don't have that right now. Okay, we're live. We're doing it live. All right. Six all time is Tony Gonzalez. Antonio Gates is. You got Jason Witten Jason above Witten? Him. Damn. As far as yardage, he's second. As far as tight ends. And then I'm going down. Antonio Gates is third all time in yardage.
So he's
first in touchdowns and third in yardage. Okay. All time.
Okay.
And as far as all time list, he's 31st in all time yardage. Two spots ahead of Mike Evans.
Not bad.
Mike Damn. Evans is 33rd.
33rd. All time yardage?
Think of where he's going to be. He's at, what, 11,600. Jerry's at, let's not even say Jerry. Let's just say number two. Let's just say Larry Fitzgerald. Larry's at 17,000. So he's at 11,600. If Mike has three more 1,000-yard seasons, he's going to be at 14,600, which will put him at 8th, 9th all-time.
Beast. And we got to witness him in Tampa.
Beast. And that's only the contract that he signed this offseason. Who's to say he doesn't play another year and go to 13 years and then retire after his 13th
year? Jason Light said that. He said this probably is not his last contract. He's in his prime right now. Well, Jason Light said.
What they theoretically want to do is what they did with Derek Brooks and what they did with Ronnie Barber later in their career, give them shorter contracts to keep them, you know, here, but also keep everything straight with the team. And then that way, if they need to restructure anything or whatever, they we're going to keep you around, but help us help you, not lock us into a long-term deal, so that way we can always, you know, move some stuff around or whatever, and still bring people in. Because
it's the way it's done now in the NFL. You got these salary cap gurus. It's not just the GM running the team. You got a money
financial guy.
You
got a controller over there controlling that
guy.
Money.
It's crazy.
And then Mike even made some moves. He restructured after he already signed his contract 100%. Again.
Yeah, team player.
And freed up some more money, which helped us probably bring in some of the guys we brought in. So
yeah, guarantee he wants to be a Buck for life, and guarantee he wants another Super Bowl. And the Bucks are poised to get another NFC South championship.
You know what I've heard on sports radio?
What's that?
They said wife was like, look, man, I really like it in Tampa. Let's make it work.
I think she said, quote unquote, I ain't fucking going anywhere.
I ain't going to Texas.
I'm staying here.
So. I ain't want to say it like that. But moral of the story, happy wife, happy life. And my boy Mike Evans chose peace. He ain't choose no violence.
Yeah, 100%. Imagine if he had to uproot his family, move from a place he's been at for 10 years to go buy another home.
And it's
or
a
such,
bitch. You know, they got kids. They're already in school. They're doing their thing. They have friends.
He's established here.
Spot, they love it here.
Tampa's definitely a spot. Florida's a spot.
It is.
You know, it's a destination spot. No only for.
Think about how many celebrities
players.
Live in this area between Sarasota, Clearwater, and all that.
No state tax.
Orlando. I mean, there are some celebrities.
You know
here.
Why he was staying? Because they're gonna open up that Harry Potter land. Big Harry Potter fan in Orlando.
They've been had that. What are
no,
you
no, no, no,
about?
No, no, no. A whole new Harry Potter land.
A whole new one.
Whole new one. Yeah, they were doing. There's a whole new park coming out.
I haven't been in the first one.
I ain't even been in the
there's
first one.
There's a whole
yet.
New park coming out at Universal.
We should go.
I'm slacking.
Dang, dog.
We should go and have like a Busch Gardens experience.
But I can't go. If I go, I have two nieces I have to take, or I'm going to get jumped.
Well, I mean, you don't have to tell them. You don't have to rub it in their face like, I'm going to Universal. You know,
he is too.
You just have to go. You're
no. Cotton candy. No. No. You're an adult. Back. No.
I will get stabbed in my sleep if I go and they find out.
They will find out too.
And they will find out because their dad will tell them.
What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of that Busch Gardens trip?
The skull.
the skull head. With the galaxy tattoo. The
galaxy head. Still to this day.
Oh, man.
Funny.
That was awesome.
But I would be down to do that on a separate occasion.
Yeah, we should do it because I haven't been to Islands of Adventure since, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they redid it.
I don't
it,
know
man.
When. Like, there's back so when it was Dueling Dragons.
It's been a while.
That's been a minute.
Dueling Dragons became Harry Potter.
I know. That's
bro,
how long
I'm pretty
it's
sure
been.
The last time that I've been to Universal, just in general, they still had the Jaws ride.
Oh, yeah, that bitch been.
Damn, I think you're right. Back to the Future for
back
me.
Back to the Future.
Like,
yeah.
It's been a minute. I have not. Yogi Berra, have you?
They still got E.T. E.T. Say Your Name when you be coming out of little thing.
Out, King Kong's gone. King Kong, everybody's gone.
Earthquake.
Bye, Eddie. Like,
yeah, Earthquake's gone?
They had the T2.
All that's gone?
Yeah, the Terminator. All that stuff's gone.
Damn.
Man.
Damn, what do they got?
A bunch of other stuff.
That Rip Ride Hollywood roller coaster thing. They got that, right?
I don't think they got that.
Have you been? Are we talking to the right guy right now? We're talking
yeah, man.
Like he's
it was
been
like
there
what,
last
like
weekend.
Couple, nah, like 5 years ago.
Okay. He got kids, though. Dog. He probably been, he's been there more recently than we have.
He's fertile, I know.
He's fertile.
I'm just saying.
You're fertile, man. Easy.
So.
Knock on wood.
Get into these draft needs real quick.
All right, yeah, back on task.
Is there anybody, Mr. Zach, that you are absolutely sold on, that you hope that he drops to us, that you hope that when pick number 26 comes up, who is on the Zach wish list for our first overall pick?
So it's not the sexy pick. I think a lot of people would want to go maybe pass rush or maybe corner, possibly even wide receiver. But I think the pick for the Bucks at 26 is going to be JPG.
JPJ.
JPJ. Jackson Powers Johnson.
Okay.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
That's
I
my
think
pick.
A lot of people think he's kind of similar to Ryan Jensen as far as his nastiness in the center there. He's a plug-and-play guy. You're putting him in. He's playing day one, and he's going to be an immediate upgrade for the Buccaneers at center over Ryan Hainsey. So.
I can agree with you on that. I think that, in my personal opinion, I think he might go before we get to that point where we can draft him. I'm honestly hoping that we benefit and get lucky in some of those sexier picks, as you say, that cornerback, that receiver,
quarterback,
whatever might drop.
Yeah.
Somebody spends that pick somewhere else, and you know some other good players fall because those quarterbacks getting picked early and all this and all that. If 5 to 6 quarterbacks come off the board in the first round, the Bucks have a really good shot at getting Jackson Powers Johnson.
Or Cody Barton.
I would love both of those picks. I would love. We haven't even talked about Cody Barton yet. We'll drop a reel on him, I'm sure, this upcoming week. One of those two guys I would not be disappointed with at all.
The reason why I'm going with JPJ over Cody Barton is because of this transition that Cody Barton's going to have to make to the interior line, to guard,
yes,
where he's playing tackle at the moment. I'd rather have that guy that's been in the
been
trenches.
In the trenches, yep.
Been a center, been a guard. And we don't have to do this movement like we did with Cody Mauch. Even
that's,
though
that's a need we have.
It's working out with Cody Mauch, I think, after moving from FCS to the NFL, which is, you know, it's not like he's moving from the SEC, you know, to FBS. It's
a little different.
It's a lot
the best
different.
Of the best.
So I think there was a growing and a learning curve for Cody Mauch, and he's proven to be that good a good player. But I think the Bucks need to get that anchor in the center,
mm-hmm,
replace Robert Hainsey, and also shore up that left side, which I think they did with Opetta in the free agency. That's why I think they're going to go with that center. If he's there, they're going to go with that non-sexy pick because they shored up the left side with some depth and other positions like cornerback. So,
and when you say the non-sexy pick, don't get me wrong. Offensive lineman is never the sexy pick, especially in the first round. But with a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who had such a hard time running the ball last year, at least until like towards the end of the year when they kind of got people in a place where they gelled together on the offensive line, we were horrible beginning of the year when it came to
worst.
The run game. If you can get some guys running the ball, averaging 3.5 to 4 yards a carry.
Yeah, let's get over the 4-yard mark.
free up a little play action for whatever receivers we have. Who knows what we bring in the draft or free agency, whatever, whatever. Offseason's not over yet. We solidify those trenches. It's going to help out our $30 million investment. I mean, you don't just spend that kind of money on a quarterback and not protect him. I mean, are we the Chicago Bears? I hope not.
Bears are looking pretty good right now.
Guess what?
I'm telling you.
How? They're going to draft the number one overall quarterback. And guess what? He's still got the same bum-ass O-line that they've been having protect Justin Fields.
They brought in some weapons. And that O-line's not that bad.
I think Justin Fields might argue otherwise.
They invested some picks into them last year with Darnell right tackle. He's working out just fine. I think they invested some money in the offensive line and free agency. I'm not a Bears fan, so don't quote me on that. But I like the Bears kind of turning the corner next season in that NFC North.
If you guys want to see my opinion on Caleb Williams, go scroll down the Facebook page and y'all see a reel. I got one for you.
Yeah, I take it you're not very high on Caleb?
Nah, man.
You know, I said early on that I thought he was going to be a bust, but as we get closer and closer, I kind of feel like he's going to be a decent quarterback.
It's his ego that I think is going
to
ruin him.
But I think you kind of need that. You need that little bit of arrogance and ego.
To a certain extent, maybe.
Sorry for the alarm.
You all right?
It's a diabetes alarm.
It's all right.
Did I call 911?
No, I'm good.
Eddie, who's a guy that you would like to see the Bucks pick?
He nailed my first one.
Sorry, I took that.
It's okay because I'm up in arms on these other two players. Number one, I do like Kool-Aid, but the foot thing, and I'm thinking we could still get him in a second. So I don't know if they're gonna
not unless we move up. I don't think he's not gonna drop to the second half of the second round.
He might drop to the second.
He's gonna drop in the second.
He might drop to the second, but we would have only way we would get Kool-Aid. I feel in the second round is if we traded that first round pick and dropped to the second.
Now you hear what I'm saying. And then I like Chop, man. I think Chop's a good player. Now, can he take some plays off? Could he be that one bust? You know, the same thing. These guys look really good on paper. They put up really good
Godfather
pro days.
The Godfather Phil Russell said he wasn't 100%. Really impressed with Chop Robinson at Penn State. But so
I think he could be that dude, though. I think he could be that manatee meat that we need on that defense.
He could, but I still like the guy from UCLA a little bit better.
Now that guy's raw, too, but he won't be there.
Well,
he's going in top 15. Watch.
Some people say that he might fall.
If he falls, I'll take him all day. But I don't think he's going to fall past 15.
That was the kid I'm pretty sure was injury retired or something like that for a season before he went to UCLA from Washington or something like that.
Okay.
Are we talking about the outside linebacker,
yep.
Edge rush, Latu?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So he's got his own issues. I think he's a shoe-in top 10 pick if he didn't have his injury issues. If teams are confident in him, then he'll probably go a little higher. But if not, then there's a good possibility that he could fall.
I don't think Kool-Aid's foot injury is that big of a deal. He probably just doesn't want to tweak nothing before.
Majority of your secondary, what is their Achilles? Is a fucking foot.
Yeah.
All those guys, why? Because all the cuts, the breaks, or the speed. Hand's not as bad as a foot, man.
Hammy,
look at
Hammy,
I'm bad. Yeah. But look at Jamel Dean. He had a foot issue. Carlton Davis, foot issue. All these guys, it really sidelines, and they don't get that same coverage, that same longevity.
We just got a steal of a deal with that Carlton Davis deal, though.
We third did.
I think we did.
Then, a week later, a week and a half later, L'Jarius Sneed gets traded for a third round?
Yeah.
I think we all can agree L'Jarius Sneed is better than Carlton Davis last season. Maybe one of the best man cover cornerbacks in the league last season, and for the Bucks to be able to get the third round pick and what else, third and a fifth, and then we gave them two sixths or a sixth round or something.
We traded Davis a sixth round this year and a sixth round next year for a third this year.
And that's all we got back. One third.
No,
it's only one. Okay,
it's still a good pick.
I think we might have got a third, and I think it was just a third.
They did, man. They might have gotten four.
It might have been a third and a fifth or something like that. I don't remember the exact details. I smoked too much. The important one is the third.
They could do a lot with that.
Listen, I'm going to jump ship and get out of the first round. I like your pick that you said, the guy from Kentucky.
Ray Davis. Ray Davis' story. He's a little older, but I love the guy's story. And he is a... a proven workhorse. Like he's about that action. He works hard. He's always at practice, and his IQ is pretty strong.
I could see
and he could be a third down back.
I could see there being some very good third round running backs there because it's not a high priority on running backs. Another guy who I wouldn't mind taking, he's been a workhorse. I did a reel about him today, Blake Corum. They said he had a really good pro day. They said he runs like a freaking like a monster, and he can catch out of the backfield, which is what we do.
He's a beast. I see him in the second round.
I think it could be a thunder and lightning situation with him and Rock. I mean,
they need that.
Who's going to be the lightning?
I mean, Rock's probably a little faster.
It's a thunder and thunder situation. Rock's not the fastest.
Rock
guy.
Rock didn't really run through the tackles too good. Blake can run through the tackles.
Yeah.
I think either one of those running backs will help out the team tremendously. You get your offensive lineman. If they can get JPJ in the first. Second, they could pick up my boy, Kool-Aid. And then you got the third, one of them running backs. Bam, your team's already better. Now you really Super Bowl.
I don't think Kool-Aid's going to be there. I think we'll have to think somewhere else in the cornerback department if we don't take him in the first round. But I think defensive backs are pretty solid depth-wise in this draft where we can still get a guy second, third
round.
There's
nobody that's like a sauce, but there's some pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, man, and you still got some boys over there. Xylem McCollum was raw. That was his first year. No, well,
they're betting on him. I mean, yeah. They clearly like he could still be that dude. Him.
And then Izian's raw, too. Now, he doesn't play the money. He plays what? More of a diet? Not nickel?
Nickel. He plays nickel? More of nickel. But still, he could also play safety as well.
But,
backup.
And D. Delaney safety. Came in and did his thing. And the rotation. And the rotation, too. So, I mean, they do have some guys.
They got some depth over there. And you brought in Hall.
And we drafted Josh Hayes last year. And I don't know, fourth, fifth round, something like that. So, he's a guy who played special teams predominantly last season. But maybe in his second year could step it up and play a little more snaps.
Only time will tell what the Bucks are thinking about.
Hopefully, Sean Tucker does show up. Yeah, he had some good points about him last time.
I wouldn't bake on Sean.
No, I'm not. But I'm saying hopefully he can show. He's already on the payroll. He's already here. Maybe whatever that rookie year, whatever he went through, maybe he comes back solid.
Is
the
he still
opposite.
Signed?
Yeah, he's still on team.
But listen.
He was an undrafted free agent. That's why I asked, was he still signed? So they must have signed.
We can put some of the blame on the running backs, but our run blocking was trash.
It was atrocious. Atrocious.
So, can we put the blame on an undrafted rookie for not really doing his best?
Not at all.
You put Sean Tucker behind whoever the best offensive line was last year. I don't really remember. Philly.
You gave him a guy.
Dude might have got 3-4 yards of carry because he had a way better run block. So, let's see what this dude has. He was a rushing leader in college, so it isn't like he doesn't have stats to back up his performance previous years.
He showed out in preseason for us.
He's shown some flashes, so let's see what we got. We tied up the O line a little bit, maybe get JPJ in there, hiking the ball to Baker. You get that little tough streak, because let's be real, we know how it goes. If you get basically what they've been talking about, Jackson Powers Johnson, he's a lot like a Ryan Jensen 2.0. You get that mean, nasty guy in the middle. You with them guards on the side of him. This dude playing a little crazy over here. Now he getting me hype.
I'm 100%.
You see a pack of dogs, right? One of them dogs start going crazy. The other one start going crazy with them and start jumping in on the pack. You know what I mean? You get that dog in the middle, as my boy Neon says. The rest of those dogs might start coming out. 100%. And you might see that FBS guy. Or FCS guy, Cody, that all of a sudden that little mammal starts coming out on him with his little missing ass teeth, looking like freaking
Hacksaw
Jim Duggan's lost nephew or something. I mean, we already know what we got in Tristan Wirfs. We got Gedecky.
Gedecky.
Tristan Wirfs did a lot for him.
I knew who you were talking about.
They knew what I meant.
It makes me think
I'm hyped
of,
up, man. I'm ready to start barking. Oh,
the kid from Jerry Maguire. That little kid, Jerry Gedecky or Jonathan Gedecky.
Yeah. Show me the money. I love that. That movie was the shit. I mean, there's so much we can go to. I still believe that our first round draft pick is going to be somebody in the trenches. I think cornerback might come second or third round.
They got to. They got to, man. They got to. Unless somebody there is just like above ordinary talent that we're not even talking about.
It's going to be O-line pass rush.
Has to be.
Like, Mel Kiper did make a very good point on that
receiver,
that receiver from Texas.
And, I think that's like fourth down on our list, though.
And don't get me wrong. The speed and the ability of this guy and seeing what guys like Cheetah's done down in Miami and in Kansas City before that and seeing these fast guys that you just get them the ball and they make things happen, it's enticing. But is that more of a need or is that a want?
Do you remember a guy?
I think we all can agree that that's a want.
We got Trey Palmer, who was the fastest guy recorded last year in football, faster than Cheetah.
Do you guys remember John Ross?
I remember his brother Bob.
I know Rick.
All right. So John Ross was drafted, I think, 11th overall by the Bengals.
Yeah, I remember him.
He ran the fastest 40 time in the history of the league as a wide receiver. That doesn't necessarily translate to being a great wide receiver.
No, man, look at Cat Williams. He ran like, what, a 4.6?
That's listen, now he's on my fifth-round pick draft list right there.
Okay, go Cat.
Anyway, my point is, I don't know.
Just because he's fast don't mean he's going to be translated to be good. No,
just doesn't mean he's going to be a good wide receiver. Not to say that Xavier Worthy's not going to be a good.
You know, he needs to figure it out.
He's been great at Texas. Don't get me wrong. He's dynamic. But Tyreek Hill wasn't drafted in the first round.
No.
He wasn't.
So, you know, these guys, those, like, diamond in the rough, like, you don't see them coming. You know what I mean? They're always a little bit later in the draft, second, third, fourth round type players.
Alvin Kamara was like a fourth round draft pick.
Hey, we could be thinking of some, and Liam Cohen and Jason Light are thinking something completely different than what we're talking about.
Usually how it goes, though.
It's going to be interesting. I think that is going to be the non-sexy pick. I wouldn't be surprised if O-line was first. Maybe our second round pick is a defensive edge guy. Then third, you get to play around. Cornerback, running back, something in that department. You got two-thirds.
I'm thinking wide receiver, cornerback. I think he's going to go O-line, pass rush, wide receiver, cornerback.
I don't think so.
And then fourth round, maybe running back
before receiver.
I don't even know if that's a big deal for us. It might be day three before we get to running back.
I don't think so, man.
A late round pick.
I think they saw it last year. They brought in Chase Edmond, you know, to take a couple extra snaps. But the Bucs seen it, bro. We need another running back. And nothing against Chad White. Nothing. That's my boy. But he needs some help, man.
I totally agree.
Every good
our division.
I just don't got see better. Early.
Our division got
pick
better.
On them.
Good teams usually have two running backs unless 100%. You have that workhorse.
You can usually get a running back pretty late. Running backs fall unless you're that. You know, I mean, when was the last one that went top?
You at this two point, picks in the third. You waste one of those on a running back.
What about a wide receiver?
What about wide receiver? I think it depends. I'm solid with wide receiver.
Are we? Expiring contract for Chris Godwin? Mike Evans getting another year
nah,
older?
Nah, bro, they're good, man. Like, they're good. They're,
Trey Palmer
we're good.
Hasn't proved anything.
We're good for 2 years with receivers.
I don't know.
100%. I know.
I think we need a receiver.
I think we need a receiver as well. I think
you're
right.
Don't forget about Tompkins.
We need a running back.
Forget about Tompkins. He's wrong.
What has higher
gone.
Draft value right now?
He went to the Carolina
Can I make
Panthers.
A point real quick?
No. What's in it? That was Dave Moore went to
Dave Moore.
Eddie.
But we also lost Tompkins. Russell Gage. We lost two guys.
Yeah, but Russell Gage didn't even play last year.
I'm going to put my hand up.
He's on the contract.
What has more value in NFL?
Wide receivers.
Wide receiver. Guaranteed. You can get dime a dozen.
We got a dozen
running back in the draft.
I mean, there's still guys.
Whoa. The Bucs have not had a dime a dozen running back. We literally have already talked about this. Devin White. Rashad White, he's been above average, all right? Okay. Now, not like super above average, but a little bit more than average. When was the last running back besides him
that we drafted?
How long ago was that?
Muscle hamster.
It's been a while.
LeGarrette Blount,
we didn't even draft him, did we?
We didn't even draft him, I don't think.
We brought him over.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's
LeGarrette Blount was, I think, drafted by Tennessee.
That, man.
But what makes that running back going to hit even more in the second or third round? Would you
Rashad
take a
White,
back
okay,
in
listen,
second
listen.
Round?
Rashad White goes out at the beginning of the season. What are you going to do now?
Chase Edmonds.
yeah, you might
Sean
as well
Tucker.
You might as well throw the rest of your
whoever
season
whoever else
away.
We bring in
you
the
might
second
as well
wave
throw,
of free
you might as well. Mike Evans goes down.
Is there Mike not Evans still running down, backs available right
Mike
now?
Mike Evans goes down. You still got Chris Godwin. You still got Palmer.
I could probably pull up five running backs of the free agent list at this moment in time that are not signed that could start in a spot.
Cam Akers is available.
Bam, there's one.
Cam Akers.
Might even be better than Rock White.
Nah, I don't think so.
Just saying.
He's had a lot of injuries, but
Cam Akers ain't played a whole season. We're literally talking about Rock White being out hurt.
I'm just saying there's a reason why he doesn't have a team. It's because he's been injured. But if he's healthy, Cam Akers is a pretty dynamic player. He's proved to be in his career. When he's on the field, he's a good back.
That's not the insurance policy I want. I'd rather have a young, hungry guy.
Okay, take him in the fourth through seventh round. Those running backs are going to slide down naturally.
Well, man, this is what I'm literally trying to tell you, bro. You listen. We don't have the history of picking up a fourth to seventh round running back.
Ernest Graham, I beg to differ.
Jason Light, bro. Jason Light. But Jason Light didn't draft him.
We still had orange jerseys when we drafted Ernest Graham.
100%.
Pretty sure, like,
I think it was Trent Dilfer. It wasn't Trent Dilfer. It was probably
Jason Light doesn't
Josh
have
Freeman.
The best.
That was before Josh.
It was Craig Erickson.
He doesn't have the best luck drafting.
Not on running backs. Yeah, that's Ronald what I'm trying Jones? To talk to you about.
Yeah. No, I would rather have them take.
We got two third-round picks. Burn one on a running back.
I want that kid from McMillan from Washington.
Long is not a kicker. I'll be happy.
They did
re-sign the long snapper. He was pretty solid.
Good.
I forgot his name, but he's been
great.
With us
now
for like
we don't have
years.
To waste a six-round pick on one of those.
I'm glad we got a kicker actually, because I know we won't pick
Chase
one.
McCock, yeah, with man. Our third-round pick.
That was a great free agency rehire.
Everything's been great for the Bucks as far as free agency. I know we had some doubt and probably some Bucks fan wanted them to go out and spend some of that money that they had available on other players and bring in some fresh talent. But when it boils down to it, signing their own players, their own stars, their own all pros and pro bowlers and future Hall of Famers,
I think we let go some of the dead weight that we needed to let go.
I'd rather draft a tight end, a higher tight end before a receiver.
What if Brock Bowers falls to us at 26?
Oh, all day. I would take his
over JPJ?
I don't think he'll fall that far.
I saw a mock draft where somebody took him.
I'd take him for the Bucks.
I'd take him all day.
If he did, I'd take him all day.
Liam Cohen's offense is only with one tight end, right? So they don't need to have such a deep room like they had before, right? Where they would play a lot of two tight end sets. Liam Cohen's going to run one tight end set, allegedly.
Well, Brock's going to be one of those split guys. He's not even, like, technically a tight end. Like, he's
going to be out on the field.
He's that guy that Otten's going to be at tight end on the line, and then he's going to be lined up in the slot or out wide while Chris Godwin's in the slot. That's a Brock Bowers.
Bro, that's a beautiful game right there.
No, that's a beast, but I don't think he's going to fall to it.
I don't think he's going to fall that far. Someone's going to get hungry when that big beast comes falling that far. What? To me? All right. There's too many guys. There's too many teams above us that can benefit from a tight end.
Yeah, I think Hockenson went like top five or something like that one year, didn't he? So
yeah, there was a couple tight ends that went that year.
It's a big part of the position. It's a passing league. When you got a tight end that can move like that and got hands like that, you're gonna take them. I mean, everybody's looking for the next Travis Kelce. Everybody's looking for the next Tony Gonzalez.
Antonio Gates.
You know,
I'm
what
excited
mean?
To see Liam Cohen's offense. See what he does.
And I was surprised Jason Witten was number two. I knew he balled, but man, damn,
the guy played forever.
He did. Like he played for like 800 years, but man,
that's another guy that needs to be in the Hall of Fame here real soon. Mm-hmm. Is Jason Witten?
And so,
is he your favorite Cowboy?
No, I don't have a favorite Cowboy except for Prime Time.
Prime Time.
A lot of the Cowboys.
A
lot of Cowboys on my list are overrated in my eyes. Troy Aikman being number one.
Who would be my favorite Cowboy?
Michael Irvin.
Thank you.
Another, in my eyes, semi-overrated.
Don't you ever talk about the playmaker
the
like that.
The best player on the Cowboys all time that is not overrated is Emmitt Smith. But other than that.
What school did Emmitt Smith go to?
I know he played for the Gators. But it's
Gator, man.
I'm thinking high school, too.
Oh, I don't remember high school.
I think it was a Popka. I think it was a Popka.
He did play in Florida somewhere.
I think it was a Popka. But anyway.
He ain't better than Barry, though.
Troy Aikman is the most overrated, besides Joe Namath, quarterback in the Hall of Fame.
Not Hollywood Joe.
Don't talk about my boy playmaker
what
like
do you
that.
Predict a Super Bowl win? He's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. He's got a horrible QB rating. Like, he's an absolute horrible.
He was a Jet.
I'm just saying.
Joe should not have made it.
Michael Irvin made 47 relevant way before John Lynch.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
His college number.
Oh, was it 47?
Yeah. Yes.
He has a jersey. That's a horrible wide receiver number.
It's a playmaker number. It's a
playmaker number.
No, it's not. Shut up, man. Stop brown nosing.
New Era made a whole hat because of him, the 47 brand.
Did they really?
I don't know if it's with him, but it's a 47 brand.
It sounded good. He should have won it.
Sound good, though.
He had me believing. I was about to co-sign. Like, why else would they call? Why else would they call it 47, bro?
I'm gonna buy some new Era stock today.
I'm about to cash in my Bitcoin.
Hell yeah! Oh, I'm still giving
for some new Era.
For new Era.
Nah, don't ever talk about my boy playmaker like that, dog. You know.
Listen,
would you take Kool-Aid on the team? You a Florida State fan?
He's an Alabama guy.
Alabama man. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not an Alabama fan.
My bad.
He'd rather have Keon Coleman.
That's what
I'd rather have Jared Verse.
They do got some big manimals coming out from the offensive and defensive line of Florida State as well, though. Verse is one of them.
Verse is one. Pass rush.
But their quarterback is coming out. Fall.
Travis, I think so. I think he is. Yeah.
I have seen mock drafts where Verse actually falls to us, but I think they might be high on life like we are.
Yeah. Like the Brock Bowers one, too.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Nah. Players like that just don't fall past like 15 or 20 in the draft.
Mm-hmm. What if we get one of those quarterbacks? Think they'll draft one of those quarterbacks if a quarterback falls the first?
Are you talking about the Bucks?
Yeah.
At
26? Hell no. We just signed Baker for $100-something million.
I don't think it's such a necessity.
Ain't a necessity at all right now.
Imagine last year when we first started back up and we were talking about Baker Mayfield to say that, hey, we're going to draft a quarterback first round, top five. We're going to be garbage. Now it's no longer a necessity.
Yeah, we all misspoke, including myself.
And we're with the retread. I don't want to retread.
No, I said he's a retread tire.
Retread tire.
Regroovable tire.
Regroovable tire. Yeah.
I mean,
like the ones you see on YouTube being made.
If there's a guy that's like, and I'm just going to throw this out there, Drake May, who I think may actually fall in this draft.
Like an Aaron Rodgers type deal?
If it's like an Aaron Rodgers type deal and you're going to burn that first round pick on him because you get that fifth year option, but it has to be clear that, hey, we're drafting this guy right now, but Baker is our starter. These next 2 years are guaranteed on his contract. This dude's sitting. Because the Green Bay Packers have been phenomenal
at doing that.
With that, drafting a guy, letting him sit a couple years behind their starter, and then bringing him in.
Well, they had that late first-round pick.
But I'm not really sold on some of these guys that they say are first-round. Like, Bo Nix literally played against Justin Herbert, and Justin Herbert's been in the league like 2-3 years now.
A lot of people say, though, he kind of reminds him of Drew Brees. Not a strong arm, very accurate.
He is, but my point is he's like 30.
He's not like Chris Winkie. He's like 24. He's
like Chris Winkie.
Not quite. He's close.
He's not Chris Winkie. 27.
He's grown ass man out there.
Brandon, he played like 5 or 6 years.
He's not Brandon Whedon.
Not Brandon.
Remember your boy Brandon Whedon?
Yeah.
Came out of Oregon State, I believe.
The Garden of Whedon.
No, he's not that old. A lot of people say he's kind of like Drew Brees. Maybe the Broncos might go there at 12. I mean, the Broncos really don't have much of an option being where they're at. A lot of the quarterbacks that they're probably looking at, those top four, are going to be gone, including J.J. McCarthy.
Unless they move up.
He keeps moving up.
Unless they move up.
Yep. Them or the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings right now are stuck with Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Would you want to be stuck with Sam Darnold?
Not if you want to keep Jefferson.
Exactly.
They better get that man somebody.
Who do you think your boy takes from the Chargers?
I think they might move down. They need to get some weapons for Herbert.
Here's the thing. Me and Derek talked about this on No Boundaries. They have the fifth overall pick. They're probably going to take one of the two wide receivers.
Odunze. Well, I mean, let's just say
Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably going to go to the Arizona Cardinals, but they're probably going to take the dude from LSU.
LSU or Odunze. So it's just between those two, Neighbors, Malik Neighbors, or Roma Dunze?
I think Neighbors or Dunze will probably be the pick there.
Yeah, those
because guys. They lost everybody they have. Mm-hmm. They only have the dude they had, the rookie last year.
They got Josh Palmer and
Quentin Johnson from last year. But Mike
Williams is
Williams
gone.
Is gone. He's in the and Jets. So is Keenan Allen.
Where'd
Keenan Allen go?
To the Bears?
To the Bears,
yeah.
Woohoo!
And they got DJ Moore?
Woohoo!
They got some weapons.
If Keenan Allen stays healthy. Dior,
what's the name? DeAndre?
Oh, they got Deontay Johnson from the Steelers.
I'm saying, like, they got some weapons up there.
Andrew Boyd, Cole Kmet was pretty gas.
Yeah, he is. He's raw. He's raw.
And they got a pretty decent running game.
They need to protect his ass, though. I think they just brought
in DeAndre Swift as well.
That's what I'm talking about, DeAndre Swift.
Yeah,
they need to protect him.
So, no, Deontay Johnson, he went to Carolina.
Oh, he did go to Carolina. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Still, the Bears, man, I'm telling you, they're going to be turning the corner.
We'll see, man.
We'll see. They still got to face the Lions.
What do you always say? Like, in order to win this league,
they still got to face the Lions and the Packers. So, we'll see.
But who's to say that the Packers and are going to be just as good as they were last year? They got rid of some players. They got, you know, new players coming in. The Lions as well. They, you know, they might take a step back. The Bears take a step forward.
Your boy Sutton from over there.
I don't think the Lions are taking a step back.
I think they're going to take a step forward.
I don't think the Lions are going back, bro. That's a team.
We'll see.
Who knows? The Lions have been the Lions for many years, and we could predict exactly how they are going to behave, like the fucking sun die, like the sun in the fucking solar system. Like, they have one good year, and all of a sudden we're going to be crowning them every single season.
We are.
They were a little decent the year before,
I know
too.
You're a little biased. You got family blood.
No, they've been
Michigan.
Good for the last past couple of years. I think they're trending in the right
direction. They are trending in the right direction. I'm not saying they're not.
They got a good organization, and they got
that's
a great
what I'm saying about the
team.
Bears. They're
and the coaching team has stayed
in the
intact.
Right direction.
They haven't poached all those coaches.
But
right.
I still think it's going to be between them and the Packers for that division, though.
Okay. I think the Bears, look where they were last year.
The Bears.
Look where they finished. They were a little hot at the end there.
They were.
They were trending upwards at the end. They end up finishing, getting a ninth pick. I think they were like 8-9 or something like that after starting like 1-8 or something crazy. Yeah. Like they turned it around. I think the Bears are the sneaky team over there.
Okay.
Like if you have a couple bucks, like throw it on the Bears because you know you're going to get really good plus odds on them to win the division over those two teams we just talked about.
Probably.
It's one of those type of bets where you're like, maybe you throw a couple
it
bucks
could pay
on
off
the Bears,
on it.
You know?
Throw $50 out there and see how it goes.
Put it out there.
Put it out there. You never know.
I'll put $5 on it. I might have a dollar.
I'd be interested how Vegas and how the odds stack out as we get closer to the draft and after the draft for the Bears.
Well, they're higher now, probably before the draft, because the draft is going to regulate and make it go teams go up or down.
Sure.
Depending on
but I don't think they're going to move that much. I feel like they're kind of cemented in their odds almost because
because you got to
know
they,
where they're going to go with this.
But they got two top 10 picks.
True.
So they're going to have you're going to add Caleb Williams, you're going to add that ninth pick, whoever that is. It could be that's probably going to be offensive lineman. Who
you're
knows?
You're talking yourself into the Bears right now, aren't you?
I kind of am.
They got some picks, man.
I don't like Caleb Williams. Fuck Caleb Williams.
Go Bears.
Go Bucks. JPJ, # bring your ass to Tampa.
JPJ.
I'd be so happy.
You go from JPP to JPJ.
I think it fits.
It does, man. Imagine him next to worse.
All you other teams out there, 25 teams that picked before us, actually not even 25 teams, it's really like 24 because the Bears got two picks.
Heisen's going to pull up at your house. He's going to put a donut in your
I know where your mama live. No, I'm just joking.
Pull in your mailbox.
Do not draft JPJ.
He's going to pee in your pool.
Facts. I don't care if you got the little purple shit or not.
So I'm kind of interested in what the Buckaholics have to say about this. So if you're watching on Facebook or anywhere else, just go ahead and post.
A lot of people did like that like that pick.
Who
and
do
they
you think the Bucks are going to
They have been commenting on the reels and stuff. And we'll see. We'll see.
That'd be watched. That's going to be something.
After my boy Phil said what he said about Chop Robinson, I'm a little scared about that pick now.
Yeah, I like him.
We'll see.
I like him.
I don't want him to be that combine wearer that turns into trash.
Hey, man. I'll leave it up to the defense because Todd Ball has picked some beasts.
Okay.
They have picked some beasts. They haven't really gotten too wrong on them.
Just not JTS. But anyways.
Wait, well, one guy.
Logan Hall.
Logan Hall. He was second
round pick.
Logan
Hall's still on the team.
He's going to get a chance. And so is
he's
JTS.
Not bad, yeah.
But
JTS garbage. No, he's garbage. Bro.
But he's on the team for
he's
like
still on
another.
Team is what I'm saying.
But he's still garbage.
Logan another Hall's two more actually going to get a chance, I think, this year.
So is Kalijah Kansi.
Well, Kalijah Kansi got a
we already know he's going to get a chance.
But now he gets like a full season.
Well, cause it's because he was battling injury. That's different.
That's what I'm saying. No, he gets a full chance, though. Like, you're getting the reps.
Listen.
Yaya Diaby?
But we're talking about guys who need to prove themselves. You're talking about a guy who was just like his pinky toe was stubbed. Like, it isn't like he didn't get a chance. Like, these guys, they need the chance because motherfucker might get cut. Kalijah Kansi here for another couple of years, and he did pretty good. We talking about guys who underperformed. You're talking about we're just going to see more of a guy who did good.
Yeah.
We know Kalijah going to get a chance.
Thank you.
I don't think Kalijah was in. with hey, man, any doubt of
that,
not
I'm just
getting
excited them. To see that nucleus come back.
I'm excited.
They, hey, towards the end of the year, that defense was changed.
Nine well, yeah. sacks.
Who you gonna block? Vita Big Vea one. Or Kalijah?
No, we got Vita Vea.
It's gonna be interesting. Can't wait to see. Any final shout outs?
Yeah, man. We got a big shout out. Jordan Whitehead, boy, welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome
we got them
back.
Headhunters out there.
I like it.
Instead of the head
shout
shrinkers,
to,
the headhunters.
Shout out to Derek for getting that Zen thrown to him by Rondé Barber at the Valspar Championship. Did you
oh,
see
I that?
I did see that.
What happened?
So you seen like the little Zen nicotine pouches?
I see like the dip.
I'm talking about like the dipless
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I guess from what I gather from the post, Derek asked Barber for a Zen, and Barber threw the Zen to him so he can get a little dip. I could be wrong. I just
no,
sent
exactly
him
what
back
happened
from the post.
That's exactly what happened.
And
he threw it back,
and I guess Bob had caught it like on camera. Good timing as a photographer caught yep. that throw on the camera. But yeah, Rondé Barber throwing
it happened, and they were chilling Derek in the same. They were still in the chilling in the same tent, and the guy who they were with knew Rondé Barber, so they kind of got to chill with him a little bit.
Hell cool. yeah. That's awesome, man.
Hell
good
yeah,
for
that,
them.
That is awesome.
He ain't give me no autograph, though. Fuck there.
That's my boy, Rondé Barber, man.
That's my boy, though.
That's my dog right there.
Is he the greatest buck on defensive side of the ball? We already know that Mike
know,
Evans
man.
Is the best
I think we need to do. I think
buck.
We need to do homework on that one because we've had some great
it's either him
players.
Or Derek Brooks, right? I mean,
you can't forget about Leroy Selman, bro.
I think we can now. Not forget about him, but I think we can now push him down on the list of
because
all
it's
time.
A whole other generation?
That and we he was our first Buck Hall of Famer, right? Like
yeah.
there was a special spot for
but he
Leroy.
Was, but he was
and
a
there
special
always
player.
Will be. There always will be. But there's a new generation, and with that come new Hall of Famers. And we've had what four or five guys go into the Hall of Fame since Leroy.
John
four
Lynch.
Guys.
Is John Lynch going right?
Yeah, four.
John Lynch,
Rondé,
Derrick Brooks,
Derrick
Warren
Brooks
Sapp.
And Warren Sapp. Four. And we have potentially a couple more
Simeon
coming
Rice.
In the future years. I feel like Leroy's kind of dropped a couple spots.
I think so, too.
You know, there was the greatest quarterback of all time.
I would say Rondé or Derrick Brooks.
Rondé Barber has the greatest play in Buccaneers history.
I can agree with that.
That is probably the biggest play. That's like what catapulted
us. The Philly shutting
us.
Down the vet.
That's what catapulted us to like legendary
that's a
great
top,
status.
Yeah.
I would say about, probably Rondé than Derrick Brooks. And
what
I'd
about
probably
Derrick
say,
Brooks during the Super Bowl when he took that back to the house, too?
But there was like four other ones that came
there
back,
too. There was, too. Dwight Smith had what, two?
Dexter Jackson. Like they were all balling out.
Yeah, they were.
Everybody was eating.
I'm pretty sure they still hold the record for most points scored by a defense in the Super Bowl.
100%.
Yeah, and we still get
they were
like
just nasty.
Underrated.
Yeah, they, everybody
all-time
still
time defense.
Everybody still puts the Ravens above us, but yeah. it's all good. We know who number one really is.
How many? Who is it? Ray Lewis. Who else was over there?
Ed Reed. Suggs. Nada.
Was Haloti Nada.
Charles Woodson was there for a minute.
No, but on that defense.
I think Charles Woodson was there.
That won the Super Bowl.
I think Charles Woodson was
there. I think Charles Woodson was
there.
Yeah.
How many Hall of Famers do they have on that defense?
A lot.
We just named four. So I think Suggs is going to get in eventually.
Okay. You know, it's comparable. You're right.
Tony Siragusa.
The Goose. That's right. That's who it was.
Yep. Rest in peace, too.
Oh, yeah. RIP, yeah.
Yeah, man.
RIP.
He was a dude, man.
The Goose. It's a good – they go toe-to-toe. I don't fault anybody who picks the Ravens defense.
I think the Bucs just have to be recognized with the,
yeah.
those names.
Yeah, and the
well.
Bears.
And that can we Bears stop saying the Bears?
The
it was
Bears.
A totally different game back in 85 when the Bears
they were
playing
still
defense.
Raw, boy.
The 84 Bears were a good defense, but I feel like they've been passed since then.
Exactly. It's kind of like the Leroy thing. Like the new generation.
So
comes.
The Dolphins? So the undefeated Dolphins?
No, that's
the
old
undefeated
school.
Dolphins. I hate that team. Every year they're popping bottles.
Hey, man, they're the only one.
Honestly,
they're the only
think,
ones that have
I think
been undefeated.
New England should have got it. Even though they didn't win the Super Bowl, they
win,
still
bro.
Went 16-0.
It don't matter.
They still won more games, though. It
they
doesn't
did.
Matter.
They did.
I think it
but
does
they didn't
matter.
Win the, they didn't win the most important game.
Listen,
I think you're right.
Nobody on that Dolphins team can guarantee me if they played as many games as they do now that they can do that same thing that the New England Patriots
if they
did.
Played this, in this time period. I mean, listen.
How do you know?
Basketball, baseball, every single sport, the athlete. There's been an evolution of the athlete.
Okay.
They've gotten bigger, stronger, faster. There's no doubt. There's no argument to that.
If you put
up players from the 60s against players from today,
the game is completely
any sport,
different. The game
any
is different.
Sport.
Yeah,
tennis,
100%.
Fucking golf. I don't give a shit.
The game is different.
Bagger Vance is not beating Tiger Woods.
I don't know, man. I bet you they still can't beat Babe Ruth.
Again, a different sport. When you had guys smoking cigarettes,
dipping
chews, drinking alcohol in the dugout,
hey,
big, larger guys.
A pitcher
not
a pitcher's
athletic.
Still going to pitch the same way. And I bet you Babe Ruth is still laying
them up. They don't pitch different.
Yeah, but dudes in Babe Ruth's era weren't throwing gas like Nolan Ryan.
They had some heaters. No,
they weren't throwing gas like Nolan Ryan or Randy Johnson or Pedro Martinez.
Absolutely not.
They weren't even fucking with John Smoltz or Tom Glavine.
I agree. Look, that's a good point.
Great Bambino is still rocking. I don't care who it was.
He's the greatest player of all time. I think he's a legend of the great Bambino. Just like Joe Namath predicting that Super Bowl, Bambino pointing out to left field and predicting that home run, it's a lore that's kind of traveled. Yes, he's an all-time home run leader. But if he was in today's game, does that fat guy become the guy that he is now?
I don't think so.
But if
I don't think Babe Ruth in his prime could have hit off Jason Verlander.
I think he could. He could light him up.
I think he played. He was the best in his era. He is one of the greatest of all times. But would he have changed his eating habits and his lifestyle to adapt to today's game? He probably would have.
He might have.
Just like LeBron. I make this argument all the time. Just like LeBron's the biggest flopper in the NBA. Well, he's had to adapt. That's the game. That's how they call the NBA. Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
Babe would be out there rocking him, boy.
Nah.
I think you might be right.
Babe Ruth ain't competing with steroid era Sammy Sosa.
Hey, imagine Babe Ruth on steroids.
He'd have to change his whole lifestyle.
He'd be like the gas house gorillas. He'd be like the gas house gorillas out there.
Oh my God. They need to bring steroids back to baseball, make it more interesting.
Less steroids in football.
Baseball's doing a good job, though, with the pitch clock that they brought in last season. It really sped up the game. It actually made it a little more interesting to watch. It cut a lot of time off the game. A lot of boringness off the game.
It did.
So.
Shout out to the Rays, boy. Who's y'all watch baseball? Are you excited about some baseball?
Not really.
I like collecting Rays and sports cards and stuff. But as far as watching baseball, it's just so tough. I've been watching Magic, bro. The Magic are killing it right now.
They're looking good.
My sleeper team going into the playoffs. They're hitting at the right time right now. Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner.
Who?
They got a bunch.
Paolo has better stats than Zion right now.
Maybe not points per game, but probably his assists and rebounds. I would probably say so.
I sent it to.
What's Paolo at? Like 22.9, I think he's at, or something like that. 23 points.
So
per
overall
game?
Stats this year.
Tell I don't watch basketball.
They're neck and neck basically. Paolo's played 65 games. Zion's 56. Paolo's 22.7. Zion's 22.6. So they're basically neck and neck.
Yeah.
I mean.
About the same. Yeah. What about the rebounds and assists? Because they're both kind of the same player. Almost.
Rebounds, he's 6.8. Zion's 5.8. Assists is 5.3. Zion's 5.1.
Mm-hmm.
Steals, 1 versus 0.9. Field goal percentage is 0.46-1. Zion has him a little bit better of a percentage, probably because he dunks a lot more.
Yeah, he doesn't shoot like Paolo does. Paolo can shoot the three.
3 points, Paolo has it.
What is Paolo's percentage, like 38?
Free throw percentage, Paolo has it.
What's his three-point?
They're pretty neck and neck. Three-point is 36.36, so 36%.
Damn, I thought he was better than that. Early on in the season, man, it felt like he could not miss from the three-point line. But Paolo's that dude, man. He's one of my PCs I collect in personal collection.
I don't know nothing about basketball. I remember Dennis Rodman.
Do you rather watch baseball?
He's playing just as good as Zion right now.
I believe it. He made his first All-Star in his second year.
Franz
Wagner. It's German, so it's.
They got German people playing.
I'm Caucasian, so it's
they
Wagner.
Got brothers, Franz and Mo Wagner.
Damn,
brothers.
They sound like a.
It's
like,
Wagner, bro.
Like they
I can
there,
read.
Like they
it's
should Wagner. Be.
Listen,
the I went, architects behind Mercedes-Benz or something.
I went to
Caucasian.
Man, he's from Lorraine Park, boy. That's
LPC.
A class of his own people.
I went to the Floyd Mayweather School of Reading. It's Wagner.
That's Wagoneer.
Listen, they got a college with the same name. They be in them tournaments, and they called Wagner. Not Wagner, whatever the heck you just said.
It's Wagner.
Ain't no V up in it.
W.
And we
V.
have gone completely off topic.
Yeah, this is no longer the Buck
the
That
Buck
podcast.
This is the everything.
Buck That No Boundaries.
Buck That No Boundaries.
Buck That No Boundaries.
Yep.
Any final shout-outs?
No, I'm good. I already gave my shout-out to D-Money.
D-Money. Any final shout-outs?
I'm sure
I had a few, but I forgot.
Keep the magic in your parlays, says my boy Zach. See you guys next week. I'm your boy High C. Peace out.
Peace out.